Well, I'm very honored today to have a very precious couple with me by the name of Hezekiah and Abigail Hawes. Shalom.
Shalom.
In fact, since we're doing this today, Shabbat Shalom.
That's right. Shabbat Shalom.
And tell us about the name of your ministry, what you do.
Jews for Yeshua. We're mainly an apologetics ministry and explaining the Hebrew roots of the faith to people.
Mm-hmm.
And we have literature outreach and a website. People can go and see our studies there, or they can order books. We also have a pastoral ministry where we go to different churches and we introduce ourselves and put a face on the Hebrew roots and minister to pastors and talk to them and answer their questions or answer their challenges sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a very good experience with it, and things have been really growing nicely, and we've been very encouraged.
Okay.
That's more of an outreach kind of ministry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we travel around and do different teachings and engagements around the country.
Now, you're Jewish, but obviously you serve HaMashiach, the Messiah.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Jewish background,
mm-hmm.
and my wife by marriage. Mm-hmm. Even though we suspect she might have some Jewish in her background, but we're not certain of that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Always good to think.
Amen.
I am at heart.
Amen. So, yeah, you're grafted in. You're one of us.
Yes, and, you know, and that's it. I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you go to Christian churches, mm-hmm. how many, maybe like just an out-of-the-air percentage, how many really understand that Christianity is based in Judaism, that we are grafted in olive branches, and that we're basically just an extension of the love and mercy of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How many do you think?
Well, when it comes to pastors, they know it.
Okay.
But we've been taught a different line of thinking. Somewhere along the line, we've got it turned around. We're given the impression that it's Judah or the Jewish people that have been grafted mm-hmm. into the church. But it's the other way around. It's the people outside of Israel, non-Israelites, who have been grafted into Israel through the blood of Yeshua. And dispensationalism, sometimes we come up against that, and that's where a lot of that thinking comes from. Somehow there was a reversal. And we forget that in the first century, the early assembly was almost entirely Jewish. In fact, it was about 10 years before the Gentiles, people of the nations, mm-hmm. Started being grafted in. That was through Peter's vision. And in fact, if you read chapter 2 of Acts, you see right in there when they're celebrating Shavuot, which is translated Pentecost mm-hmm. in the English Bibles, that you had Jews from every nation that were gathered there, and then they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then later on, when you get to the end of the chapter, it says that 2,000 were added to the church. And so this word church was associated with those Jewish people 10 years before the Gentiles started being grafted in. And then when you get into like chapter 18 or in 21, 22 of Acts of the same book, and it talks about how in Jerusalem there were tens of thousands of Jews who believed, and they're all zealous for the Torah. And then you've got the book of James talking about to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, and other passages of scripture all along those same lines. And then, of course, Yeshua himself said that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then on the cross, when he was crucified, it says that he was king of the Jews. That was his crime. But it wasn't a crime. It was just necessary. He was a Passover lamb, so he had to be slaughtered.
Sure.
And, of course, we know he resurrected, and that's why we have eternal life through him now.
Hmm. So, you know, as I read through the Tanakh, I am more and more impressed with the fact that he had a plan all the way through. It even says that Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
You know, so he had his Messiah all and his plan all set up all the way through. And he had a plan to bring in the outsiders, we Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
to bring us into the fold through the Messiah.
Yeah, there's lots of pictures in the Old Testament about
Yeah, what a
Yeshua.
What a beautiful picture. What a loving,
absolutely
merciful God.
You know, and he could have chosen any people. He could have chose Russians or Chinese or whoever.
Right.
But he didn't. He chose Israel, and not because we're any different, because he says that we're stubborn and stiff-necked just like anybody else, but we're small, and he likes to work with small groups because that way we can't take credit for anything. It's all him, right?
Look at Gideon.
And he even picked a Gentile to be the forefather of Israel, mm-hmm. Abraham, the Hebrew-speaking Gentile.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had Isaac and then Jacob, and Jacob became Israel, and then his 12 sons became the nation of Israel. And then from there, other people, the nations, continue to be grafted in. And as Romans 11 says, some are broken off, and some wild ones are grafted in. And then you have some of our people that are broken off and later regrafted in. And so you have the natural branches, the grafted in branches, and the regrafted in branches. And right now, in our day and time, there's a lot of branches being regrafted in, because through the Hebrew roots of the message, a lot of Jews are starting to respond, and they're coming out and understanding that there's something about this that makes sense, that 20, 30, 40 years ago didn't make sense. Celebrating the feast, the appointed times and all that. If you would ask somebody, about these 10, 20 years ago, we would have thought, oh, those are Jewish things. But now you explain, no, these are God's feast. And these are all prophetic of things to come, prophetic of the Messiah's first coming and of a second coming. You know, for example, Yeshua the Passover lamb. So Passover celebrates him, right? Sure. And then you can go forward to Shavuot, where the giving of the Holy Spirit and the grafting and regrafting of the nations then, and then Peter's vision, then Gentiles started coming in more fullness. And after that, you have Yom Teruah, which is the Day of Trumpets. And what does Corinthians talk about? The sound of the last trump, right? Trump. The dead shall be raised. Well, in Judaism, that last trump is a reference to Yom Teruah, or Day of Trumpets, the day of the resurrection. Hmm. And so it all matches. And then the first trump was Shavuot, so last trump, Yom Teruah, and then you have the great trump blown on Yom Kippur every 50th year to introduce the Jubilee. And, of course, that's when we receive our internal inheritance, is in a Jubilee year. In fact, Yeshua came on the 80th Jubilee from Adam to release us from our debt of sin. And so next time, when he comes, he'll take us into the Promised Land. Now that those sins are gone, now we're free to receive our inheritance.
Hmm. You know, I've walked with the Lord now for over 40 years in my adult walk. Being old, you can say things like that. and I remember one of the first, well, a little background first. Yeah. Two of the things for which I'm very grateful. Mm-hmm. My mentor, kind of like Paul to Timothy, immediately, very early on, instilled in me a love for Israel and the people of God, the Jewish mm-hmm. people. And I'm almost tearing up as I say that. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to this very day. And a lot of people don't understand. It's not just, hey, give me the goods here, but it's, I will bless those who bless you,
amen.
And I'll curse those who curse you. God amen. Loves his nation and his people.
Amen.
So, but I'm thankful to this day for having this in my heart. Amen. But also, we talked about the nation of Israel being established in 1948, mm-hmm. okay? And that ushered in the quote-unquote last generation, the end days. Do you have any commentary on that? We've seen a lot of stuff happen. Hmm. I mean, we've seen just a lot of stuff. And right now, I mean, the things that are going on in that country, mm-hmm. God still is very, very Absolutely. Zealous and jealous for that piece of ground and the city of Jerusalem.
Absolutely.
I've just been studying in Isaiah. And how many times does he talk about Jerusalem? I mean, mm-hmm. He says, that's mine.
Yep.
I mean, that's the place of his throne forever, the scriptures say in Yechezkel, Ezekiel. And this is nothing short of a miracle that Israel is there today. The only nation that has gone out of existence and come back into existence.
In one day.
In one day.
Who has ever
heard
of
it? And with its original language retained. Mm-hmm. All nations, you know, they're born. And then they blossom, and then they wither, and they die. But not Israel. Mm. Israel just died and was resurrected. Because it's a picture of our resurrection.
Bones.
Yeah, one is a picture of the other. Yeah. And great things are about to happen. Fearsome things are going to happen also. Mm-hmm. But we know the end of the story. And so we have nothing to fear, because we know what our reward will be when it's all said and done. There are many, many things. For example, just counting Jubilees, you know, looking at the timeline from time of Adam to the time of the end, 6,000 years is how we look at it, 120 Jubilee cycles. Mm-hmm. So Yeshua came on the 80th Jubilee from Adam the first time, and then when he returns, he'll come on the 120th Jubilee. Well, think of the numbers 80 and 120. Does that remind you of anything? Maybe Moses? 80 years old when he took us out of the bondage of Egypt. So Yeshua came in the 80th Jubilee to mm-hmm. free us from the bondage of sin. And then Moshe in the 120th year His office was taken over by Yeshua, who was like a conquering king, right? He took us into the promised land and gave us our inheritance as a conquering king, defeated God's enemies and all that. And so what we have to look forward to now is the 120th Jubilee, when Yeshua returns. He'll return as conquering king to conquer his father's enemies and to bring his people, Israel, you, me, Abigail, everyone here, into the promised land to receive our inheritance as a redeemed people and as a complete people. Like it says in Ezekiel, and talks about the resurrection in chapter 37, that when he resurrects us from the dead, remember the dry bones in the valley and then the sinews and the flesh is all put on, then the breath.
I just mentioned it.
Yeah, it's put in there. And he says that he raises that as a whole house of Israel and as a mighty army. So when Yeshua comes back, first he resurrects us, and then 10 days later on Yom Kippur, the day of vengeance, he comes back with those he resurrected as a mighty army, and we are the ones that fight those armies that come against Jerusalem. So it's kind of neat promise. And then, of course, we have the millennial kingdom. All those part of that first resurrection get to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years over the earth. And so, sorry, I'm a millennialist. That's the millennial kingdom hasn't happened yet. But that covers 6 days. Let's see, his plan is 7 days long, though. See, 6 days man does things his way, and the seventh day God does things his way. And so we have a lot of prophetic pictures. A lot of people don't realize there's actually 3 Sabbaths, not one. So you have the seventh day Sabbath, which is rest from our toil. And then you have Yom Kippur, which always falls on the seventh moon. That's rest from our enemies. And then you have the seventh year, rest of the land, which is the prophetic picture of rest of the earth. All of these point to the millennial kingdom. Rest from our toil, rest from our enemies, rest for the earth. That's 1,000 years is when that's going to happen. Then at the completion of that 7,000 years, after God cleanses the last of the sin and death out of the earth, then we have the great white throne judgment, and then we have new beginnings, a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem comes down like a bride adorned for a husband, and then all things are new. Paradise is restored, and there's no more sin, there's no more death, there's no more evil, and these are the things that we celebrate when we celebrate the appointed times of God, and it all works into his timetable, his time frame, and this is why it's so important for us to celebrate the appointed times of Scripture, because they aren't the Jewish holidays, they're God's holidays. And they all tell us about our Messiah, what he's done and what he's going to do for his people.
Hmm. Yeah. So I guess what I'm hearing here, we who have just come into Christianity, think we have it all. Oh, we've got the New Testament. Yeah, we study the Old Testament a little bit, but maybe we really need to get in touch with our roots and find out, let's get the whole picture here. Let's really put this together from the foundation up, and then we'll understand so many other things. I know everybody thinks they've got a handle on, the rapture is going to happen now, and then this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And well, wait a minute. Let's put this whole mosaic, let's put this whole picture together, starting with God's pattern.
Amen.
And like you say, he works in, it seems to be, like these increments of 40 and different things.
Like the fall feasts, they haven't even been fulfilled yet. So some people think that, we don't need to do those.
Because they think they're all been fulfilled. And it's like, no, the fall feasts haven't been fulfilled yet. Hmm. There's still things to come.
Yeah, well, you hear people say, any day we could hear the trumpet blast and see the rapture.
No, we can't.
Yeah, there's still a few things to happen. So.
Oh, yeah, many things. And it happens on his time schedule. When he says that no one knows the day and the hour, that doesn't mean that we don't know the season. The day and the hour is a reference to the celebration of Yom Teruah, translated, Day of Trumpets in the English translations, and the Resurrection Day, as we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. And so when it says the day and the hour, that's because on Yom Teruah, that's the first day of the seventh moon, and it has to be sighted. And we never know what day that's going to fall on, and we never know what hour of that day we're going to sight the moon. We have to look for it.
Ah.
See? So we don't know,
but we know the insight that how many of us have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but we know the year though, just like we knew the year the first time. The sages taught that he would come on the fourth day from Adam, so they knew that he would come in the year 4000. They also knew that. See, they thought there would be two messiahs. We know it's one messiah now fulfilling two roles, but they thought it would be two. The first one they called Ben Yosef, the suffering servant. The second one they called Ben David, the conquering king, and they taught that The suffering servant Ben Yosef would come on the fourth day from Adam, that he would come humbly and riding on a donkey, that he would die for the sins of Israel, make atonement for the sins of Israel, that after he died, sin would continue in the world, and that the temple would be destroyed, among several other things. And then that the conquering king would come on the sixth day from Adam, for the year 6000. So we know the timetable. And don't look at the Hillel calendar. They've deliberately, that's deliberately, it's not correct. It's about 200 years off, and I don't know why they won't correct it. Maybe because it's inconvenient, but we're almost there. The year 6000 will actually be the year 2027 on the Gregorian calendar. Hmm. When we just add it up, the Bible tells you pretty clearly how much time has passed, so it's pretty easy to figure out. Hmm. Yeah.
But, and he has a timetable that's available on the website?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if anyone's interested in eschatology or chronology, I have a timetable on our website that they can go to in detail.
We'll have the website up on the screen. Okay. People are able to see that, and they'll be able to go to your site and find out.
Yeah.
I need to pop in one little commentary.
Sure.
Abigail, your earrings.
Hmm. Yes.
The menorah. That is actually how I got to meet you guys.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I saw the earrings and then ended up talking obviously about my love for Israel and the Jewish people and so forth and then found out about the ministry, and then that's what brought us together.
It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I do that on purpose, right?
I kind of figured that after a while.
It's a fishing hook.
Well, but people who have that heart, that draw, will pick up on that. The ones that are supposed to pick up on that will.
Yeah.
And not everybody will. Oh, those are cool earrings, you know. But again, when you know or have the heart for and are meant to know, then yeah.
Yeah, so. It's true. I've had a lot of people approach me because of the menorah earrings. I got to share with them the Hebrew roots.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So the Lord has given you that as a, you know, a couple of things I want to address. What are we down to, about 7 or 8 minutes, 6, 7 minutes? We'll find out in a minute. Anyway, because otherwise I get wound up. Yeah. Boy, the state that we're in right now, the nation of Israel, the enemies, just a lot of anti-Semitism seems to be on the rise. Mm-hmm. You guys are probably much more aware of that, thank you, than even I am. Mm-hmm. But I went into the post office, it's been several years ago, and was getting ready to send a money order to someone in Israel. Mm. And the guy at the counter, not meaning me to be mean, but just, why do you want to send it there? Mm. Like, well, if I had said Hungary or Ethiopia or something, would you have said that same thing? I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you know, how come you're sending something there?
Yeah. Mm.
It's just that there is one, you know, we talked about that, the very small piece of land. And as I used to have a co-host named Dana, she said, God put his thumbprint there. Mm-hmm. There is just something about, right now the Muslim world has, what, zillions of acres of land? Mm. And yet here's little tiny Israel. They want that.
And they can't get it.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, it has always come down to that little piece of God's ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan cannot stand that he can't get that. He's just...
And technically, when you go into the prophecies of Scripture and such, all of the Middle East is our inheritance. I mean, actually, the whole earth, ultimately. Mm-hmm. But if you look at all the boundaries that are set up, he gave us the boundaries, all the Euphrates River, all the way down to Kuwait and Egypt and up north. And the whole thing is supposed to be ours. But, you know, he lets man have his way for now, but man's end is coming.
It'll change.
And Yeshua will reign in the kingdom, and things will change very quickly for the good.
You know, Hezekiah, this is what gets me. It's right there in black and white.
Mm-hmm, it is.
All you have to do is just read.
Yeah.
It's like he spells out exactly what the boundaries were, what land belonged to each tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all right there.
That's right.
This is his, the land of milk and honey that was given. Hello? What are the questions? Do some geography here, you know. We're down to 3 minutes.
Okay.
So I'll shut up and let you guys yak.
Well,
tie up some thoughts for us.
Sure. And, you know, that's kind of what gets me, because people, when they talk about defending Israel, or when they come against Israel, they talk about, well, it's only been here since 1948. And even when we defend Israel, we have a tendency to go to 1948, when really we should be going back 4,000 years.
Exactly.
Saying, hey, we way predate the Palestinians, the Muslims, all of those people, we absolutely predate them. In fact, Ishmael was a descendant of our forefather, and Ishmael wasn't a Muslim. Ishmael was of the same household as Abraham, and right. Abraham was not a Muslim. So Islam didn't come around until just, what, 1,200 years ago or something? So why did we stop at 1948? We should be going all the way back and establishing from the roots that that's our land, mm-hmm. and it's not going anywhere. God will fulfill mm-hmm. his promises, and I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Because we're living in that generation that's going to see a lot of prophecy coming to pass.
I'm just about to ask you guys to sing Exodus, you know. This land is mine. Yeah. God gave this land to me. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
People need to understand really what's going on. And I've got to tell you from my heart something that just grieves me to the core. And that is to see people who I believe are Christians, who call themselves Christians, they just don't seem to have the understanding. And a lot of them, I hate to say it, Christians are anti-Semitic.
In a lot of ways. I don't think they mean to be.
But I mean, they just don't understand, I think.
Yeah.
And it hurts me. Yeah. We recently worked with a wonderful gentleman. Mm-hmm. He does a radio program and so forth, Orthodox Jew. Mm-hmm. We had a great time. And, you know, and we talked about this a little bit, about how among the Jewish people there's been a lot of distrust of Christians, and understandably so.
Yes.
And again, a misunderstanding on the part of Christians. And you know, those boundaries seem to be kind of going away a little bit more.
Yes.
You know, I think the Jews are starting to realize that, you know, a lot of the Christians are truly on their side. We're their ally.
Especially in America. Anti-Semitism is really rising in other parts of the world, but in America, it's more, it's not so bad here.
Well, let's hope and pray.
Yeah, you know.
We're down to less than a minute. It's gone fast.
Oh, yes.
But I will say Shabbat Shalom.
Yes, Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you so much for being here. God bless you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Your ministry. Come back again sometime.
You bet.
Cool. This is good to work with you.
Yeah, good to work with you.
Folks, pray for Jerusalem, for Israel, and the Knesset, and Prime Minister Netanyahu. God bless.